Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We find ourselves in the middle of a discussion concerning finding a source that a non-Kohen, a Zar, is posel avoda. By taking advantage of our marking system, we can see by looking at Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis and Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, we see a series of diamonds. These diamonds represent opinions or sources in which one can see this idea that a Zar is posel la'avoda. We saw the Toni Levi approach. We started the Debei Rabbi Yishmoel approach. The third approach will be that of Rav Mesharshia. We started in our previous shiur the approach taken by the Bei Rabbi Yishmoel, and they said that the psul of a Zar, the unacceptability of a Zar as doing avoda, and that if he were to do avoda, he would mechalal the avoda, he would render it profane. This idea can be learned by employing a kal vachomer logic, starting off from a baal mum. The logic said that if a baal mum, a kohen with a blemish, is allowed to eat korban meat, and nevertheless, if he does the sacrificial service, he's mechalel. He ruins the korban, he ruins the sacrifice. A zar, which is even more restrictive, in that he is not allowed to eat from sacrificial meat, from koche meat, from the high-level sanctity meat. If he were to do avoda, all the more so, there would be grounds for saying mechalel. He would ruin the avoda. We see now an inverted triangle. This represents a pircha, an undoing of that which was just said. And as we go on in the Gemara, we will see how these forms assume alternating positions as we go along the Gemara, which will help us keep track. So the Gemara at this point rejects the approach of learning Zar from Baal Mum by saying, Ma le Baal Mum, shekein osa boy korev kemakriv. The Baal Mum has an aspect to it that you don't find by a Zar, and that is that blemishes affect the korev, the sacrifice, as they affect the makriv, the kohen who is offering it. So that a mum is something that applies across the boards, both to the animal and to the person. This is obviously something unique to a mum and not to a Zar. So maybe only by a Baal Mum is Mahal Avoda, but I would not know that to be the case by a Zar. Tome Yochiach. Avoda done by a Kohen who is ritually impure. If he is in a state of Tumah, he's Mahal Avoda. Now, what we can say about Tumah is that Tumah affects people, it doesn't affect animals. So an animal which does not mekabel tumah, yet a kohen who is mekabel tumah, if he does the avoda, so it is usur. Therefore, a zar as well, even though zoros is a concept that doesn't affect animals, but does affect the person, he too, if he does avoda, he will ruin it. On the other hand, the Gemara asks, but you can't really learn from tomei, malu tomei, shekein metamei. Tomei has a feature in that you don't find by Zoros, in that Tomei conducts Tuma, passes Tuma on to other things. Baal Mum Yochiach. Well, Baal Mum doesn't affect other things, and yet he is posel lavoda, the Chozer Hadin, and the logic revolves. Lo ro'izeh kiro'izeh, ve'lo ro'izeh kiro'izeh. Each element that we are introducing to prove the case is unlike the other element. However, Hatsad Hashava Shebohen, the common denominator between the Baal Mum and the Tomei, is Shemuz Horem. They are warned by the Torah not to do Avoda, V'im Avdu Chilo, and if they do, they ruin it. Af Ani Avi Zar, I will, through by the same token, bring in the case of the Zar, Shuhu Muzar, that he is warned not to do the Avoda. V'im Avad Chilel, and if he does do the Avoda, he will ruin it. If we skip the brackets for a moment, you will see the Gemara asks on the Tzad HaShoveh, Iko LeMifrach, Ma LaHatzad HaSheva Shevahen, Shekein Lo Hutru BeBoma. The Gemara will try to show that you cannot use as a, you can't draw a common denominator from Mum and Tomei to prove the unacceptability of the Tzar. Before we get to that point, though, we have the bracketed section. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be seeking out from where do we know that a zar is muzhar, that the Torah warns a zar not to do avoda. That was part of the assumption made just before this bracketed section. So the Gemara asks, Minolan de muzhar. It's very important for us to show that the zar is muzhar. That will enable us to include the zar in as part of the as comparable to the common denominator between the mum and the tomei, whereby we mentioned that they were muzharim. So we have to establish that the zar also is muzhar, so that we can compare it to the mum and the tomei. So the Gemara is asking in the brackets, minolon the muzhar. From where do we know that the zar is muzhar? It is warned by the Torah not to do avoda. If it's from that source. Now, this Vinozru is found on Tes Vav Amid Beis. If you notice, we've included a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a Tes Vav Amid Beis indicator. If you scan down the page on Tes Vav Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom, you'll see there it was cited as the source for the Toni Levi. That, in other words, that's Toni Levi's source that Azar is prohibited and is mechalel. So if the Debei Rabbi Yishmael is using the Vinozru as well as a source that the Zar is Muzar, then Chilul Begufei Ksivbe, in that very pasuk, you saw the word V'lo Yechalelu. There would be no need for them to activate this Kal V'chomer and Tzad HaShoveh that we're currently using. So apparently, the Tana de Bei Yishmael does not darshin the posuk of Yinozru Mikotshi B'nei Yisrael V'lo Yichalu the way Tani Levi did. Ela, so what is the source for the Tana de Bei Yishmael to suggest that Azar is Muzhar? Ela Mizar lo Yikrav Aleichem. From that posuk, an Azhora is a negative command that's found in Psukim. So in this posuk you have, it says Mizar lo Yikrav. Lo Yikrav is a negative command that constitutes an Azhora. And then with the Tzad HaShoveh, we can conclude that just like the Mum and the Tomei are Mechalo the Avoda, so too Azar, if he does the Avoda, he will ruin it. Nevertheless, Iko LeMifrach, but still we can ask on the last attempt, last attempted proof. Ma LaHatzad HaShoveh Shebahen, Shekein Loi Hutru BeBoma. You cannot learn from the common denominator between a Baal Mum and a Tomei to a Zar, because the Baal Mum and the Tomei are prohibited from doing sacrificial activity in a private altar. A boma was a private altar that at an early stage in Jewish history, without getting into the specific details, but suffice it to say that there was a point in time that a private boma was allowed, certainly prior to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and there were certain leniencies associated with sacrificial activity at those private bomas. However, the leniencies did not extend so far as to allow a Baal Mum or a Tomei to serve at the Bomas. This is not the case with regard to a Zar. A Zar is more lenient in the sense that a Vodas HaKorbonas at a Boma was allowed to be done by a non-Koyein. Therefore, how am I going to discover that a zar is mechala lavoda? I can't right now. I can't learn from the Baal Mum and Tomei. They may be mechala because of the severities associated with them. But the zar, we see a leniency with regard to Boma. So I don't know that he would mechala the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, answers, lo tema tomei yochiach, elo emo oinein yochiach. Instead, take out tomei from the variables and insert instead an onain, namely that if an onain does avoda, he is mechalal. An onain is an individual whose relative died, and prior to the deceased's burial, the living relative is considered an onain, and there are different restrictions attached to an onain, and one of them is that if an onain, one of the restrictions is regarding service in the Beis HaMikdash. A standard kohen hedyo as an onain is prohibited from doing service, and if he does, he would be mechalel the avoda. So we'll learn from onain to azar. Ma la'oinein, but I can't learn from onein. Shekein osur b'meiser. An onein is someone that is osur to eat meiser sheni. That's the tithe that one takes off produce that grows during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. An onein is not allowed to eat meiser sheni. Whereas a zar is allowed, and by virtue of the fact that we see a leniency with regard to the zar as opposed to the onain, I don't know that the zar would ruin the avoda like an onain. To that we say baal mum yochiach. A baal mum is someone who is allowed to eat meiser sheni, and yet if he does avoda, he will ruin it. So by the same token, a zar who is allowed to eat meiser sheni, if he does avoda, he will ruin it. The chozar hadin. Lo ro'izeh ki ro'izeh. What's intended over here is that, well, how can I learn from a baal mum? We saw before that a baal mum also korev kemakriv, which is not the case by a zar. But taking all of these things into consideration, we can establish a common denominator between these elements, the mum and the onein, which the Gemara does immediately. Let's read this now. The Chazar Hadin, Lo Ro'izeh Ki Ro'izeh, Hatzad Hashava Shebohem, the common denominator between a Baal Mum and an Onein, Shemuzharin, they are warned against doing Avoda, and if they do Avoda, here the Gemara saves ink, it just says V'chulei, but we can speak it out, and if they do Avoda, they're Mechalalit. The same thing is true with regard to a Zar, who is warned against doing Avoda. We saw the Moker for that was V'zar Lo Yikrav Aleichem, and if he does the Avoda, he will Mechalalit, he will ruin it. So the Gemara suggests, we have a new marking, we have a dashed inverted triangle. This is an attempt to reject the Tzad HaShaveh. Later, though, we'll have a dashed triangle point up, which will, as we describe on the side, Chizuk Tzad HaShaveh, we will reestablish the Tzad HaShaveh. Right now we're working with a Tzad HaShaveh, a common denominator between Mum and Oinein. So the Gemara asks, well, Hochinami Lifroch, why not ask over here, like we asked before on the previous Tzad HaShaveh? Hochinami Lifroch, Ma'al Atzad Shev Shemahen, Shekein Lo Hutru B'Boma. The assumption being that a Mum, Baal Mum, and an Oinein are not allowed to do Avodos at a Boma, whereas a Zar is allowed to do avoda at a boma. So why not raise that as an objection to this particular Tzad HaShaveh? Maskif lo Rav Samo brei derava. Rav Samo now attacks this last point. Uman lema lon de oinein oser beboma. Dilma shori beboma. Who is to say that an onain is prohibited from serving at a boma? It could very well be that an onain is mutter to serve at a boma. And just like an onain is mutter at a boma, and he is mechalel davoda, if he works in the Beis HaMikdash, he ruins it. So to a zar, even though he's mutter b'boma, if he does avoda, he will mechalel it. So that would be an acceptable approach to establish that a zar is mechal avodo, namely from a tzara shofa between valmum and oinein. Rav Misharshi Omar Asyo Kavachomer Miyoshev. Rav Misharshi says that that a zar will mechal avodo is established via a kavachomer from the case of Yoshev. A Yoshev is a person who does avodas beis hamikdash while he is seated. By the fact that Rav Misharshia suggests a kavachomer from Yoshev, it seems pretty clear that as far as the issue raised in the previous section concerning a boma, it must be assumed that a Yoshev would be allowed to do avoda at a boma. Because if a Yoshev was not allowed to do avoda at a boma, we would immediately have a pircha on this. We'd have an undoing of this logic by saying, well, how can you learn from a Yoshev who's usur to do avoda at a boma and learn to a zar who is mutter to do avoda at a boma? The reason that we are mentioning this point now is because later in the Gemara will ask a question around five lines from here. The Gemara there will ask, V'yoshev dekosher b'boma menolon. From where do you know that a Yoshev is allowed to do avoda at a boma? The Gemara will be clarifying that issue because of the assumption that's being made right now, as we just explained. So let's turn to Rav Misharshia, a third approach to establish that a zar is osir and mechala. He's mechala the avoda if he works in the service of korbanos. He says asya kavachomer miyoshev ma yoshev. Oh, we also should explain we have a new geometric form. We see a trapezoid form, or sometimes referred to as a volcano form. This is at the on the outside margin. We have this explained. It's a makav of Rav Misharshia. It's an attempt to keep track of the discussion under Rav Misharshia's heading. And with the narrow portion facing upwards, moker lezar chilel. It's a moker that a zar is mechal avoda, and with the inverted form of it, it represents a pirchan, undoing of whatever was mentioned previously. So we'll try to keep track of the discussion through these forms. And here it is. This is how the kal v'chomer would work. Uma yoshev she'oichel, and a yoshev is allowed to eat korbanos. If he does korban activity while seated, he ruins it. Zar she'eno ochel, a zar is not allowed to eat kochei kochim, eno din she'im ovad chilel. Then it's all the more so where you see a zar has restrictions with regard to eating, he certainly will be mechalel. Ma li Yoshev. On the other hand, the Gemara raises a pircha. How can you learn from Yoshev? Shekein posul liedus. Someone who is seated cannot say testimony in court. One of the requirements of offering testimony is that one must be standing. So Yoshev has a restriction, and he's posul liedus. Whereas, of course, a zar is not posul liedus. So the Gemara answers, well, our kal v'chomer is mi Yoshev talmud chacham. From the din of Edus, testimony given over by a Talmud Chacham. If a Torah sage is saying testimony, he is allowed to be seated. Ma l'shem Yoshev shekein posel li'edus. But nevertheless, I still can't learn from Yoshev in the sense that within the realm of Yoshev there is that which is invalid for edus, for testimony, and that's not the case by Zarus. Well, the Gemara answers that shem Yoshev lo porach. The fact that conceptually Yoshev presents a problem, that is not enough to undo the limud, the derivation from Yoshev, the imtim tzolomar porach, and if you insist on saying that one cannot learn from Yoshev, asyo the psul zar, or the zar will mechala lavoda, comes mi Yoshev umechado mehanoch, through a tzara shove, combining Yoshev with one of the other elements mentioned, for example, bamum or tome or an onein, which are individuals that are kosher for edus, and yet are mechalal avoda. So through a tzad hashava between those, any one of those, plus yoshev, we will be able to determine that azar also would mechalal avoda. The yoshev de kosher bebama min olan, and the fact that a yoshev is allowed to work at a, to serve the, to perform the korban service at a private altar, from where do we know that? And of course this is unlike the cases of mum, oinein, and tomei. Namely, this whole Rav Misharshi approach is willing to learn from yoshev and not to rely on mum, oinein, nor tomei alone, because those are usher to do avoda at a boma, masha en kein azar. So I can't rely on mum, oinein, or tomei, but I am able to rely on a yoshev in order to determine, to derive the psul, or that the azar is mechal. Apparently, yoshev would not be prohibited from working at a boma, just like azar. So from where do we know that a yoshev is kosher b'boma? Omar kro la'amoid l'fnei Hashem l'shor soy. L'fnei Hashem, l'fnei Hashem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. There, amida, their standing is ma'akev, v'lo l'fnei boma. But not in the case of doing sacrificial service in at a private altar. There, yoshev is allowed. The new topic is the topic of Onein. On the side, we have a Nosei heading, Onein Mechalel Avoda. We also have a Mivneh, a structural note, which features a house form, and this lasts Ad Omid Beis, and you'll see the house form is featured, Mekoros de Onein Mechalel Avoda, sources that will indicate that an Onein is Mechalel Avoda. As we scan down the page, we see three of them until we get to the bottom. There will be a fourth approach on Omid Beis under the name Rav Misharshia. We have a little note here, He'ora. Shnei Mekoros HaRishonim Min HaMikra, Shnei Mekoros HaChronim Mikal V'Chomer. The first two approaches use Psukim. The second two approaches are based on Kal V'Chomer logic. Turning to the Gemara. Onein Min Olon. From where do we know that he's Mechalel Avoda? Dichtiv. There's a pasuk in the context of a Kohen Gadol that's found in Vayikra, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. We've included on the side of the Gemara psukim that are relevant to this discussion. First, we have Pasuk Yud Aleph, which says in the context of a Kohen Gadol, the Al Kol Nafshei Smeis Lo Yavoi, Lo Avivulimo Lo Yutamo, that with regard to anyone who dies, even if it's mother or father, he is not allowed to expose himself to tumah, to ritual impurity. Umin hamikdash lo yetze, pasuk yud beis says umin hamikdash lo yetze v'lo yichalel es mikdash elikov ki nezer shemen mishchas elikov olav ani Hashem. We turn to the Gemara. Umin hamikdash lo yetze v'lo yichalel. Regarding the Kohen Gadol, it says that he shall not leave the Beis HaMikdash, and by not leaving and continuing to work, so he's not desecrating the Avoda. Ha Acher, we can draw an inference, but if it were someone else, Shelo Yotza, someone else who doesn't leave, Chilel, would Mechalel the Avoda. And we're talking about someone who just had a close relative die. Someone else must leave, because if he doesn't, he will mechalal. In simple terms, an onein is mechalal avoda. Rabbi Elazar Omar Mehocha. Rabbi Elazar cites the following pasuk. Now, this pasuk is part of an involved section of the Torah whereby on the Aleph Nisan, the dedication of the Mishkan, on that day, though a very significant and festive day, a terrible tragedy befell Aaron, where his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, died. The pasuk describes the offering of korbanos that took place on that day after his sons died, where Aaron processed korbanos and Moshe Rabbeinu saw one of the korbanos. He saw one of the korbanos being burnt, and this aroused a indignation on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu as to why is it that the particular korban in question was being burnt. It happened to be a reference to the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh. So, without getting into details, because this in fact will be a sugya later on in and of itself, let us try to learn the Gemara just by focusing on the basic elements that are necessary for our discussion. So, the Rebbe Lozer says, I can learn that an onein is mechalal avoda from the following. And you have to read this pasuk with the proper intonation. This was Aaron's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was inquiring as to why the korban was burnt. Hein hikrivu? You have to read that with wonderment. Aaron says, do you think that they, Elozer and Isamar, who were oinonim as well, their brothers had just died and they weren't even buried. Do you think, Aaron says to Moshe, do you think that they offered the korban and that's the reason that it is being burnt? Of course, if they had offered the korban as oinonim, that would be reason for the korban to be burnt. Rather, ani hikravti. I, Aharon, who was a Kohen Gadol, I offered the korban. And as such, I, as a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do service in the Beis HaMikdash as an onein. So we can infer, though, from this, Michlal, di'i inu, akriv, however, had they offered the sacrifice as oinonim, shapir isturuf, that would have been good reason for the korban to be burnt. As far as why the korban in actuality was burnt, we can leave that out as far as our current discussion. The main thing for us to realize is that from the implication of Aaron's response to Moshe, one sees that had they, the brothers of the deceased, offered the korban, they were onanim, that would have been good reason for it to be burnt. Verebi Elazar, my time alo omar me umin hamikdash lo yetze. Why does Rebbe Elazar cite the pasuk of Hein Hikrivu and not the first citation as a source for onein mechalel? Amaloch miksiv. Does the pasuk say ho achir shelo yotza chilel? Does it say that if someone else would not leave and continue doing the avoda, he would mechalel? It doesn't. The pasuk doesn't say that which you try to infer. The pasuk may very well be addressing halachas of a kohen gadol, without an intent to extrapolate from that to something else. The idoch my time lo omar me heinik rivu. And the first opinion: why does he not cite the heinik rivu? Kosovar mipnei tumo nisrafa. He is of the opinion that the reason that the korban was burnt was because of tuma. The Rashi explains, "Kosovra menei tuma shenoga bo," because of some type of ritual impurity that touched that korban is nisrafa. That's why it was burnt. Velo huskar shom aninus the inyan hakrova, and the issue of aninus was not cited at all according to this approach. The issue of this was not cited at all with regard to the offering of the korban. The hein hayom hikrivu hochikomar. The hein hayom expression that Aaron said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it means thusly: hein hayom halo adayin yoimhu v'anu asurim bekotchim lechol ad ho'erev. We are also to eat korbanos. That even though Kohen Gadol Onei might be allowed to service the korbanos, he's nevertheless not allowed to eat it. And it's still daytime, and we're also to eat kochim until the evening. Ubesoch kach ira bo tuma boinus. And in the meantime, some uncontrolled situation of tuma arose. So the idea of hein hayom is a reference to it refers to the aninus, but not in so far as the offering of the korban, but with regard to the eating of the korban. So when he says hein hayom in the pasuk, he's saying it's still daytime and that the aninus period has not passed yet.
and therefore we didn't eat it. And as far as the burning of the korban is concerned, that's a result of it having contact and encountered tumah. The Rashi gives some of the background that, as we mentioned, will be discussed later in the Masechet. So for more information on the topic, one can learn the rest of the Rashi and also learn the Sugya later in the Masechta. Let's continue in the Gemara. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Asya b'kal v'chomer mibal mum, that an onain is mechala avoda can be derived from a kal v'chomer from Baal Mum. Uma Baal Mum she'oichel. Im ovad chilel, a Baal Mum, as we've seen earlier, is allowed to eat from korban meat. Yet if he does the avoda, he ruins it. Oinein she'ein oichel einodin shim ovad chilel. An onein who has a greater restriction in the sense that he's not allowed to eat korban meat, certainly if he does avoda, he will mechalal it. The more response to this. And before we go further, let's just take note of the new geometric forms on the side of the Moheva Mivneh, a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. We'll see triangles pointing up. Those represent pirchas, undoing of whatever, of the kal v'chomer. And the inverted triangle will be a rejection of the pircha. So the Gemara attempts to dismiss the kal v'chomer by saying ma la baal mum she kein osa boi kraven kimakriven. How can you learn from a baal mum? Baal mum has a unique feature in that not only are the kohanim posel, but the kraven as well are posel, are unacceptable if they are baal mum. Kraven is a reference to the animals, the makriven a reference to the kohanim, which is, of course, that's a special feature by baal mum that we don't find by aninus. Zar yochiach. Well, let us learn from a czar, namely a czar who is allowed to eat from korbanos, and not is if he's oved, he is mechalel. An onein who is not allowed to eat from korbanos, certainly if he's oved, he'll mechalel. Someone asks, well, ma lazar shekein ein lo takona. I can't learn from the fact that a czar is mechalel avoda. To a case of an onain, a zar is something that is permanent, has ein lo takona, it remains, it has no undoing. Masha'en kein, as opposed to a case of an onain, that the next day he is no longer an onain, the onain status leaves. Baal mum yochiach. Well, a baal mum can prove the case, can prove the case of an onain, in the sense that a baal mum is something that, if it's a Balmum over, for example, that's something that has takona, it passes. Just like Aninos passes. But but while he is a Balmum, if he does the Avoda, he will machal it. So too an Onein. While he is an Onein, if he does the Avoda, he will machal it. V'chozer hadin, lo roizeh ki roizeh, v'lo roizeh ki roizeh. But each one of the elements that we're trying to prove the case of onein from, whether it be zar or baal mum, each one has elements that the other one doesn't have. So what are we to do? We can derive our conclusion from hatzar ashava shebohen shehen, the zar and the baal mum, the common denominator between them, the zar and the baal mum, muzhorin, they are warned not to do avoda in the mikdosh, v'im ovdu chilo, and if they did, they ruin the korban, afani ovi oinein shemuzar, so too I'll bring in the case of an onein who is muzar, v'im ovad chilel, and if he does avoda, he will be mechalalit as well, he will ruin it as well. We have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets momentarily, we will see an attempt to ask on this tzad hashaveh. And if we skip, you see after the brackets, the bracket length indicator is the dash dotted line that's found to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. At the end of that vertical line, you see the end of the brackets in the middle of the Gemara itself. Ikal the mifrach, you can ask on the tzad hashaveh, ma la tzad hashaveh shebahen, shekein lo hutra michlolo. How I can't learn from a zar and a baal mum. Those are things that always are prohibited. Ma she'ein kein, in the case of an onain, there is an allowance made for onain, and that's in the form of a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol who is an onain is allowed to do avoda. So being that there is this leniency in the realm of aninus, maybe if an onain does avoda, if a standard kohen who is an onain does avoda, he won't be mechalel. Let's go back over the bracketed section and we'll return to this afterwards. It was just mentioned that an onain is muzar, and we said we made a tana shava between a zar and a bamum before the brackets and said just like they're muzar, if they do avoda they're mechalel, so too an onain who is muzar, if he is oved, he's mechalel. The Gemara now asks in the brackets, Heichon Muzar. Where do we see that an onain is Muzar, is warned by the Torah not to do avoda? Ilemomi umin hamikdosh lo yetse. If you're to suggest that he learns that this approach, the approach taken by Bei Rabbi Shmuel, learns the azhora from the pasuk umin hamikdosh lo yetse, chilul begufei ksivbe. The fact that that an onain is mechal is written in that pasuk, I wouldn't need to come on to the tzara shabbat. So apparently the Bei Rabbi Shmuel is not using the pasuk of umina mikdash lo yetze as his moker for an onain being muzar. Elo mehein hikrivu. He apparently is using the pasuk of hein hikrivu as a moker that an onain is muzar, because avar me aninus nisrafa. And he's also understanding that parsha involving Aaron's response to Moshe Rabbeinu was in explaining the burning of the korban, is that it was burnt because of aninus and not because of tumah. So that the topic of hein hikrivu was an aninus topic. Continuing in the Gemara, Iko lemifrach ma latzara sheva shebahen, you can undo the common denominator between zar and balmum and say she came lo hutra michlolo. Those deficiencies, namely zar and balmum, are items or elements that never can be undone. Should you, and okay, so those things are mechal avoda. Should you say the same thing by an onain, which is hutur michlolo? What does hutur michlolo mean? That there is an allowance granted to onain, even though it's a general topic of restriction. What's the point of allowance? That's manifest in the case of the kohen gadol. So as a result of onain having an element of allowance to it, maybe if an onain does avoda, he's not mechalel. To that we answer, Tomei Yochiach. The case of Tuma can prove that there is chilul by an onain as well. The case of Tomei is also Hutur Michlolo. It has an element of allowance, of leniency. That is true in the case of a Korban Sibur, a public sacrifice. In the case of a public sacrifice, if it's processed while in a state of Tuma, it's okay. Ma'al Tomei. But nevertheless, I can't learn from Tomei. Here we have a new pircha. Shekein mitamei. Tomei, the nature of tuma is that it can be passed on to something else. That's not true by onain. Hanoch yochichu. The case of zar and balmum, they don't have that element of passing their problem on to something, onto another item. And they are mechal avoda. So too, I will learn from that to an onain, the chozer hadin, and then the logic starts to revolve. As we mentioned earlier, that you really cannot use a limud from zar and balmum in that they are not hutur michlolo. So I would then, I can't learn from that to a case of onain. So to that we said, well, we'll bring in the tomei. The chozer adin, and we said the logic tends to revolve. Hatzad hashava shebohen, the common denominator between all of these elements, namely Zar, Balmum, and Tomei, Shemutarin, they are warned not to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And if they do, they're Mechal Avoda. I will bring in the case of an Onen, who's also Muzhar, as we saw from the Pasuk Vehein Hikrivu. If he does Avoda, he will Mechal. The Gemara here has a suggested Pircha, and that's why we have it in a dashed triangle, and there's a dashed inverted triangle later, which is an undoing of this suggestion. The Lifroich, why not raise as an undoing of this Tzara Shavimala, Tzara Shavishimahen? How can you learn from Zar, Balmum, and Tomei, Shekein, Lo, Hutru, Michlolon, Eitzel, Kohen Godol, Bekorban Yochid? Even though we said that there are leniencies with regard to Tumah, that's only true with regard to a case of Tumah of a Tzibor. But if you're dealing with a private Korban, a Korban Yochid, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do Avoda if he happens to be Tomei or a Balmum or a Zar. This is not the case, however, if he is an Onain. A Kohen Gadol who is an Onain would be allowed to service a Korban Yochid. So, as a result of that leniency, it could be that an Onain in general is not Mechalo the Avoda. So the Gemara responds, Shein Tumo Miho Ishtaroi. Just like you say that there is an allowance with regard to Aninus in the context of the Kohen Gadol, there happens to be an allowance in the realm of Tumah, and that's in the case of Tumah B'tzibur. So since there is an allowance with regard to Tumah when it comes to Tzibur, we can say that this element is similar to the Onein, and therefore I do have a Tzad HaShoveh. Once I bring in, we mentioned the Tzad HaShoveh between Zav, Bamum, and I bring in the element of Tomei, I can make a Tzad HaShoveh from them to learn to Onein. And I am not entitled to undo the Tzad HaShoveh by saying there's lo hutru mechlola, because an element of that Tzad HaShoveh is hutru mechlola, namely Tumah B'tzibur. Rav Mesharshi Omar, Asya B'kav HaChomer Miyoshev. We're going to learn that an Onein is mechalel through a Kal Vachomer from the case of Yoshev. Uma Yoshev She'ochel Im Ovad Chilel, a Kohen who is sitting is allowed to eat Korbonus. If he does Avoda, he's Mechalel. Oinein She'eno Ochel, an Onein who's not allowed to eat Korbonus, Eino Din Shim Ovad Chilel, and certainly if he would service the Korbonus, he will be Mechalel. Once again, we have some geometric forms to help follow the logical, keep track of the logical flow with the triangle point facing up. These are Pirchos on Rav Mesharshia, and with the inverted triangle, they will be the Dechios, the response to the Pircha. At this point then, we said, let's make a Kal Vachomer from the case of Yoshev. The Gemara says you can't learn from Yoshev. Mali Yoshev shekein posel yedus. The reason that Yoshev is such a problem is because we find even in the realm of testimony he is unacceptable. The Gemara says, well, mi Yoshev tamil chocham. Let's make our Kal Vachomer from the case of a Yoshev, a seated Torah sage. He is allowed to say edus. He is allowed to eat korbonus meat. And yet, if he does avoda, he's mechalid. So, an onein who is not allowed to eat korbanos meat, certainly if he's oved, he's mechalal. The Gemara responds, ma l'shem Yoshev shekein posel yedus. I can't learn from Yoshev because within the realm of Yoshev, there is someone who is the commoner is prohibited from saying testimony. So you can't learn from that to onein. The Gemara says, Shame Yoshev lo porach. The fact that there is an element of Yoshev that's posel, that is not sufficient grounds for preventing us in making the Kal Vachomer. The Im Timtzel Omar Porach, and if you insist on saying that Yoshev has a stringency that you don't find by Onein, in the sense that a Yoshev at times is posel yedus, I will tell you back, Asyo mi Yoshev u Mechad Mehanach. We will derive the restriction of an Onein and that he's mechalal avoda from a combination, a common denominator between Yoshev and one of the others. We had Tomei, Balmum, or Zar, that they are mechalal, even though they are not pasul li'edus. Certainly an onain who is muzar will certainly we mentioned, of course, by mentioning Yoshev, we're citing an individual who is allowed to eat, and yet if he does avoda, he's mechalal. So to an onain who is, or all the more so, an onain who is not allowed to eat, certainly would be mechalal the avoda. And by the way, in that particular Kal Vachomer, if you want to undo it by saying that Yoshev is Pusul Liedus, Lishem Yoshev is Pusul, we will then bring in Tomei, Balmum, and Zar, which are not Pusul Liedus, and yet they are Mechal Avoda. Onein Pusul. Omar Rava, Lo Shanu Elo Bekorban Yochid, Alfa Bekorban Tzibor Meratze, Kal Vachomer Mituma. Before we go on in the Gemara, we must say a word or two about the structure. We see Rava's name in a crown form. This is featured in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, with the crown form in the upright position. Ho chochas Rava. Rava will prove the ha de oinein posel, that we've been saying that an onein is posel avoda, hainu rak b'korban yochid. That's only with regard to private korbanos, aval b'korban sibor kosher. But with regard to public sacrifices, an onein will be acceptable, kal v'chomer mituma, and he will make a kal v'chomer from the realm of tuma. In the course of our discussion, we will feature two realms. When we feature Rava, we will feature the realm of Tuma and the realm of Aninus. As far as Psukim are concerned, the Psukim are not very specific in what is allowed and what is restricted. As we approach Rava, and Rashi makes this point a little bit later in the sugya, it might be pointed out that Tumah, with regard to a Korban Yochid, in other words, if a Kohen is Tumah and he's approaching a Korban Yochid, this is Osir. Ne'es, it's Osir for all Kohanim. In other words, including a Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol is Tumah, he as well as all the other Kohanim, all Kohanim, unqualified, all Kohanim are not allowed in a state of Tumah to process a Korban Yochid. That's one point that is mentioned as a given. Another given, Tumah B'tzibur, when it comes to a public sacrifice, Hutra L'chol HaKohanim, we're going to say that all Kohanim are allowed to process a Korban Tzibur, even if they happen to be Tomei. Once again, something that's unqualified. So let's go over the points. Private Korban, an unqualified statement can be made regarding all Kohanim. In a state of Tumah, they cannot service it. With regard to a public Korban, another unqualified statement. All Kohanim are allowed to service it, even if they happen to be Tomei. Another realm, the realm of Aninus. Aninus, there is a certain given that Rava makes, that Aninus is mutter to a Kohen Gadol with regard to all korbanos. Another type of unqualified statement. Once again, all korbanos. It is mutter for a Kohen Gadol who is an onein. There is an additional point. The following point, though, will not be stated in an unqualified fashion. With regard to Aninus and a Koyein Hedyot, and this is what Rava's Chidush is, with regard to Aninus in focusing on a Koyein Hedyot, the restriction posed by Aninus is only insofar as a private Korban. It does not extend to a public Korban, a Korban Sibor. this particular point is not mashma from psukim. When you look at the psukim, you wouldn't notice, you wouldn't see this particular chiluk. This chiluk is derived by making a kal vachomer. The reason that we are presenting all of this as an introduction to Rava is because later in the Gemara, Rava bar Ahiloi will come and question Rava's conclusion and say, if you are going to arrive at distinctions through kal vachomer logic, I am going to present a number of alternative scenarios which halachically speaking are not true, but as far as your method of learning is concerned, we will come up with all kinds of other distinctions or chilukim that are in fact not accepted l'maskana. And with that, Rava bar Ahiloi will be resting his case, so to speak, against Rava. So as we glance at the Gemara, just in an overall bird's eye view, we open up this sugya with Rava and his comment which culminates essentially with a chidush with regard to the limited restriction of onein, of aninus. After that, you'll notice an inverted crown form a few lines later, with Rava bar Eloi mentioned, and we have at the side an encircled dalid, a dechia, with a long length marker, a vertical dashed line, which continues till the very top of Daf Yud Zayin, at which point the Gemara concludes with Rava bar Eloi's rejection in place. So now, with all that having been said, we will shortly start the Gemara itself, but before we do that, we have some more geometric forms that we want to take note of before we get into the flow of the Gemara itself. So we've noted already the crown forms. We have the crown form with the points facing upwards. That was Rava's proof that that the psul onein exists only with regard to a private korban, but with regard to a public korban, an onein is going to be kosher, and he comes to that conclusion through a kal vachomer from tumah. We will see an inverted crown marking. That's Rava bar Ahiloi's objection to Rava. We will be using a double underline with dots in it, emphasizing along the way the words tumah and aninus, in order to make it easier for us to focus on the kal vachomer that's being made. We will use a dashed underline under the expressions shelo hutra or hutra. We will also use the terms, when we get to Rava bar Eloi, we will see his suggested alternative chilukim introduced with diamonds as we go along, either the words v'tutar, which means let us allow, or v'lo tutar, let us prohibit. Those represent the dechias divrei Rava al yedei Rava bar Eloi. Those will be the rejections of Rava's statement done by Rava bar Eloi, as we see later in the Gemara. So let us now turn to the text itself. Omar Rava, loy shanu ella the korban yachid, the teaching that an onein is posel lavoda, this is only insofar as a private korban, a private sacrifice, aval b'korban sibor miratzeh, but as far as a public sacrifice is concerned, an onein is acceptable, kal vachomer mituma, and he comes to this conclusion through kal vachomer logic, using tuma as a starting point. Before we go on in the Gemara, we featured a little notation to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to make things a little bit easier. For many of us, a sugya like this presents a myriad of variables. So in order to hold on, so to speak, while the logic unfolds, sometimes the additional notations are helpful. Additional notations, and we also can rely in part on our markings as well. We're going to see we've written in on the little space immediate right hand side of the Gemara the words lo hutra, and then hutra, and then hutra, hutra. Let's see how this notation helps us as we go on in the Gemara. Uma tuma shelo hutra mechlola etzel kohen gol bekorban yachid. Mind you, the realm of tuma, which has a certain restriction to it, in that there is no allowance offered for tuma in the context of even a kohen gadol when it comes to a private korban, and yet hutra etzel hedyo bekorban sibor, there is an allowance in the realm of tuma with regard to a common kohen if he's dealing with a public korban. Apparently, the fact that you're dealing with a public korban, that opens up a great deal of leniency. So, in the realm of tuma, let's take a look at that little notation on the side. In the realm of tuma, you see, we start off with restriction and then allowance. Lo hutra, we said that tuma with regard to a private korban is not allowed with regard to a kohen, even a kohen gadol. And yet in this restrictive realm known as tuma, there is an allowance if you're dealing with a public korban. Continuing in the Gemara, aninus shehutra michlola etzel kohen gadol bekorban yachid. Aninus is a more lenient realm in the sense that even though you might be dealing with a korban yachid, if you happen to be a kohen gadol, you're allowed to do the service. This was not the case when we were talking about tuma. So aninus is a more lenient realm. Enodin shehutra etzel kohen hedyo bekorban sibor. All the more so should we be lenient with regard to a kohen hedyo working with a korban tzibor. As we saw before, in the realm of tuma, which was a restrictive realm, but when you came to a public sacrifice, we were lenient. So in the case of aninus, all the more so we can afford to be lenient even with a kohen hedyo, and that's because he's dealing with a korban tzibor. So if you look at the little notation on the side, you can see what we are trying to accomplish. We're trying to illustrate how the Kal V'Chomer works, where you're in a realm of lo hutra and yet hutra. If you're in a realm of hutra, then certainly we can be hutra. So just to say it again for the who knows how many times, Rava's din is that aninus with regard to a kohen hedyot has only a limited restriction, and that if you're dealing with a korban tzibor, a public sacrifice, a kohen hedyot who happens to be an onan would be allowed to do the service. Maskif lo Rava bar Ahiloi. Rava bar Ahiloi says to Rava, according to your method of logic, you who say that a kohen hedyot onan is allowed to do a korban tzibor, you who say that in the realm of aninus with regard to a kohen hedyot there is a chiluk, we can make the following other chilukim which you wouldn't agree with. And what he does now is goes on to present three different chilukim, three different distinctions, qualifications that no one would agree with. And just like the following distinctions no one will agree with, your distinction is something that we cannot accept either. Namely, that when you're dealing with a kohen hedyot, whether it be a private korban or a public korban as well, we cannot allow him to do the avoda. The question then is, is what will be the sources for these halachas altogether? That will be the subject of the Gemara at the very top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So now let's proceed to the Gemara itself. Maskif lo Rava bar Ahiloi. Lo tutar, according to you, of course, it's Rava bar Ahiloi is addressing Rava, according to you, lo tutar aninus etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid mikal v'chomer. And this, by the way, is not true. But according to your logic, we should end up saying that a kohen gadol onein would not be allowed to service a private korban. Before we go too much further, we were going to use the same type of notation for the first case here on in the little space to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. In this case, we're going to be working in the direction of restriction. So we're going to start off with a realm where there's hutra, lo hutra. So in another realm where it starts off as lo hutra, certainly the result will be lo hutra. let's read the line again in the Gemara. According to you, lo tutar aninus etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid mikal b'chomer. We should end up not allowing an onain, a kohen gadol onain, to service a private korban, which, as we said, is just not true. And how would you come to this logic? How would you come to this conclusion? Through the following logic. Uma tumo shuhutra etzel kohen hedyot betzibor. Lo hutra etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. Tuma, which we have a little bit of leniency in that realm with regard to a public sacrifice, whereby even a kohen hedyot is allowed to do it because it's a tzibor korban. But a kohen gadol would not be allowed to do a private korban in a state of tuma. Aninus shelo hutra etzel kohen hedyot bekorban tzibor. Aninus, which is not allowed by a kohen hedyot, even though it's a korban tzibor. This, of course, is using a point that's not like what Rava said above, but since this issue wasn't found in a pasuk, and since you came to it simply through logic, I can argue another way, and that's what he's doing right now. He says aninus, which is not allowed by a kohen hedyot with regard to even a public sacrifice, enodin shelo tutar etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. All the more so, we should not allow a kohen gadol onain to do a private korban, which, as we said before, is simply not true. Furthermore, the tutar tumo etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid mikal v'chomer. I could argue that a kohen gadol should be allowed to do a private korban in a state of tuma. Uma aninus shelo hutar etzel kohen hedyot bekorban tzibor. Once again, Rava Bar Eloi is taking as his starting point that which Rava would disagree with, but he says aninus, which is something that's not allowed by a korban, by a kohen hedyot in a public form, public sacrifice. Hutra etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. A kohen gadol who happens to be an onain is allowed to do a korban yochid. Tuma shehutra etzel kohen hedyot bekorban sibor. Tuma which a kohen hedyot is allowed to do if it's a public sacrifice. Eino din shehutra etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. All the more so, we should allow a kohen gadol tomei to do a private korban. And this is based on the idea that we already saw in the case of aninus, a leniency provided for a kohen gadol with regard to a korban yochid. Furthermore, velo tutar tuma etzel kohen hedyot bekorban tzibor, which is not true. We should not allow a common kohen to do a public sacrifice in a state of tuma, and that would be mikal v'chomer based on the following kal v'chomer. Uma aninus shehutra etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. Aninus, which has an element of leniency in that a kohen gadol, who is an onain, is allowed to do a private korban, yet lo hutra etzel kohen hedyot bekorban tzibor. Aninus is not allowed with regard to a kohen hedyot's activity, even if it happened to be a public sacrifice. Tuma shelo hutra. Tuma is a more restrictive realm. Shelo hutra etzel kohen gadol bekorban yochid. Eino din shelo tutar bekohen hedyot bekorban tzibor. Tuma, which is, as we say, more restrictive in that a kohen gadol is not allowed to do a private korban while tamei. Certainly, then a kohen hedyot, who is more restrictive, we saw already in the case of aninus restrictions by kohen hedyot, and so tuma for a kohen hedyot certainly should not be allowed, even if it happened to be a korban sibor, which is simply not true. Once again, we know that when it comes to a korban sibor, all kohanim are allowed to do avoda. All kohanim are allowed to do a korban tzibor, even if they happen to be tomei. We also know that when it comes to a korban yochid, and a kohen that's tomei, all kohanim are not allowed to service a korban yochid while in a state of tumah. Ela, ika lemifra hachi, the ika lemifra hachi. Rashi at the very top says, ika lemifra hachi, yesh lodun kach. One can argue one way, like Rava did, v'yesh lahachlif. One can argue to the contrary, v'lo neida eza nidrosh. And we won't know which one, which way to accept. Hilkoch kolchado teku beduchto kiksivosa stam. Therefore, each topic shall be established as it appears through the simple reading of the psukim. That's what the Gemara. Well, the Rashi goes on to explain the final line of the Gemara that we should read. Let's read the top line again and then continue with the Rashi at this point. Elo ikol lemifra hochi, the ikol lemifra hochi, kol chada v'chada teku beduchte. Each topic shall be established in its own place, namely as the simple reading of the psukim indicate. Turning back to the Rashi, second line from the top, the second word, hilkoch kol chado teku beduchta. Let each point be established in its place, kiksivasa stam, as it appears written in the Torah in an unqualified fashion. Kishahutra aninus l'koyin gadol. When the Torah relaxes the aninus restriction when dealing with a koyin gadol, stam. It says that aninus does not apply to a kohen gadol in an unqualified way. Bein biyachid, bein betzibur hutra. Whether it be a private korban or a public korban, and kohen gadol owning is allowed to do the service. Ukshenesra lehedyot. When the Torah prohibits aninus with regard to a common kohen, bein biyachid, bein betzibur nesra. We've dashed underlined betzibur because this was the very point that Rava had argued. Rava had argued the contrary to this. What we're saying right now is that when you're dealing with a kohen hedyot, we know the Torah forbids a kohen hedyot owning to do avoda. The Torah does not qualify under what circumstances. Therefore, under all circumstances, the kohen hedyot owning is restricted, including the korban tzibur. Ukshehutra tuma betzibur, when the Torah allows. Provides for a relaxation or a leniency with regard to tumah because you're dealing with a public sacrifice. Hutra af l'kohen hedyot. This relaxation with regard to tumah in the realm of a public sacrifice, this applies across the boards to all kinds of kohanim, even a common kohen. Ukshen nesra b'korban yochid. When the Torah forbids tumah with regard to private korbanos, nesra af l'kohen gadol. It's unqualified in its prohibition, unqualified in the sense that all kohanim are included in this restriction. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.